Welcome back in hour number three of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Hope everyone is being careful out there. As we know, the roads very messy right now, maybe in worse condition than they were yesterday. So make sure if you absolutely have to be out today that you're being as cautious and as careful as possible. Joe Rex Road, we've talked a lot over the last couple of weeks about the draft for the Tennessee Titans and looking ahead to some positions of need that they've got moving forward here. But I want to revisit, now that the season is over, a draft from last season, and specifically the first round pick, Isaiah Wilson. As we know, things did not go according to plan this year for Isaiah Wilson. He barely saw the field at all. He saw the field for zero meaningful snaps all season long, off the field issues all over the place, not very reliable in terms of his ability as a teammate to come in and do the work. You've heard some comments both on the record and anonymously from some of his teammates out there as well. So with all that being said, Joe, with the entire picture now in place from the first season of Isaiah Wilson, what do you think about it if you're the Titans moving forward, and how short is the leash in terms of balancing? Yes, he's a first-round pick. You like the talent, but also he's been such a headache up until this point. How do you balance that moving forward if you're John Robinson and the Titans?
Well, I think you've got to have some real heartfelt heart-to-hearts with Isaiah Wilson and, you know, feel like he wants to play football moving forward and wants to do everything necessary to play football, or else. I mean, I think you got to start really thinking about doing other things. By the way, couple things on that. John Robinson is talking today at 12:15.
Yep.
I know there was some speculation, and I get it. Some speculation. Uh-oh, is he cutting Isaiah Wilson? This is not some bombshell. I've been told not some bombshell press conference. It's basically, you know, John Robinson doing the availability for media that he would have done at a combine had we had the combine, which usually is, right around this time. So keep that in mind. This is just basically Robinson answering questions on all this stuff. So we'll have some good stuff to talk about tomorrow off of that, for sure. But 12:15 today. So this is not something like that. There was some stuff on Twitter, though, that was like related to that. And including, like, I don't even know if this is real. And this is where I, as someone who's only on Twitter, I don't know other social medias very well.
You talk about the Instagram post?
Yeah. What is that? Is that real? And what the heck does it mean? So explain it. You'd be better than me at explaining this.
Well, there was a screenshot, and I did not see it on Isaiah Wilson's page. I did not go to Isaiah Wilson's page on Instagram, but there was a screenshot somebody took of his Instagram account. Basically, and Joe, tell me if I'm getting this wrong, but basically paraphrasing it, said, if you're like law enforcement looking into drug investigation, like, I'm not a seller of drugs or anything like that. This account is strictly for entertainment purposes. So that was kind of all over the place a couple of days ago.
And that's real. That's his real, like, that's verified. That's his Instagram account sending this out there.
Now, that's
this is not some fake account.
That's definitely his name on Instagram. Now, again, I did not see it in time to go to his page and actually look and see if it was on there, because it was on a story. So it's not like he posted it. It was like on a story that expires after a certain amount of time. But it was his name. Now, people are good at Photoshopping. It may have been fake, but people were under the assumption that it was real. I'll put it that way.
So, and that would be some reference to maybe some picture or something that might have been
related
to that. Okay. But so we don't even know if that's, because that's been, circulating. Like, Jack Gentry, who works for A to Z Sports, was one who I saw his tweet about that. And, so then, of course, people are putting two and two, like, John Robinson, presser to, get rid of Isaiah Wilson. So we don't know that that's even real. And, man, this is where, gosh, it's funny, because last night, it's like my son's on Twitch. I'm like, what is Twitch? Like, can we just keep it to like one or two things? I mean, this has really
turned into an old man Joe segment.
Yes,
unintentionally.
Is Brandon on TikTok?
Nah. See, Caroline, see, I know Caroline, I know, actually, she was trying to get me to do like a daddy-daughter goofy dance for TikTok. Does that mean she's on it? I don't know. Brent, I don't know what they're on. My wife, you know, let's just move on. Okay. It's too much. It's too much, man.
Just the stress involved. So with that in mind, Joe, how short is the leash for Isaiah Wilson moving forward?
Well, I mean, look, it's a terrible situation if he isn't committing, you know, and all year long, I said, look, he does these things, terribly immature things. No excuse. And you know, any sort of drinking and driving situation is more than immature. It's absolutely reckless and inexcusable. And then he goes on and on, and he does the thing, going to Florida with the stupid video and everything. I mean, look, it's very alarming. There's no excuse for any of it. But for people all along saying, get rid of him, like, you, it's a first-round pick. You've invested something. You could have done so many other different things for the future of your team. But if you miss on first-round picks, you're not a GM long in this league, okay? And so you have to see it through all the way. I mean, you know, the obviously, like, we're talking right now about, like, cap casualties, right? And of course, now this could go to some sort of arbitration too. But I mean, you know, if you talk about, we're talking about, what do you save if you cut a Malcolm Butler? What do you save if you cut a, you know, Adam Humphries? Well, you know, if you Isaiah Wilson, you know, your dead money is, you know, $9 million, you know, and then you lose another 6.4. I mean, you are taking a massive bath if you cut Isaiah Wilson. So, I mean, that's the whole thing here. And not just that, but you are giving up, you are saying, okay, we're done with him, and you don't know that he's not going to figure it out, grow up, go somewhere else, and be a great right tackle for 10 years for somebody else. So that's why you have to – so short, yes, but you got to be real sure before you make a move here.
You do, but, like, at the same time, like, I don't know how, if you're Mike Vrabel or, heck, just even a player on the team for the Titans – like, you've got to be, like, past annoyed at this point with Isaiah Wilson and everything that's gone on. Like, how hard – like, it's not that much to ask to show up and do your job. Like, it's really not. It's not that much to ask, and apparently it was this year for Isaiah Wilson and, you know, keeping his head down and focused off the field. And, look, there was a stretch there where, you know, we talked about, you know, he was kind of off the grid for a while, and we were wondering, okay, like, is something going on? Like, they need to – spend some resources to help this kid and to help him come along here. And that's still the case, I think. But, you know, when you see that, to me, the final straw for me where I was just like, man, it may be time to start considering moving on from this guy was that video on the boat. Like, when you're in the middle of the season and he's out on a boat in Miami, like, partying and throwing stacks of money around, to me, I was just like, all right, dude, like, it's pretty clear that right now you don't want to be here. Like, you don't want to play football. Maybe he has a heart change, and maybe that changes, you know, throughout the course of the next few weeks and months here, and you feel better about it at some point next season. But to me, that video, like, I tried to look at it from the perspective of John Robinson and Mike Vrabel, and quite frankly, every player that the Titans have on the roster, and I don't know how you couldn't be anything but just irate at that guy at that point with everything else going on, and just the sacrifices that everybody on the team had to make just to show up and play last year with the COVID testing and everything you had to go through. To me, that would have driven me insane last year if I was one of his teammates.
No question. And the thing is, if he's going to make a go of this, he's got a lot of apologizing to do. And I mean, it's got to be sincere, and not just apologizing, but demonstrating that he actually wants to listen to the veterans who, I mean, we've heard guys, you know, I think Roger Saffold probably had the strongest. I mean, Lawan early in the year was like, basically like, please come to us, talk to us. But I think Roger Saffold had the strongest comments that indicate what you're talking about. And of course they feel that way. And look, we know that some people, you know, said some pretty harsh things about him to A to Z Sports earlier in the year too. I mean, which again, like, I think it's weak to do that without giving your name, but still it's an indication of how people feel. And so at this point, I agree. Like, when you get to the point of that video, I mean, to me, I don't want to hear Isaiah Wilson say, yeah, I'm in, like, let's go. I mean, like, I need to hear, like, okay, that was incredibly stupid. Hat in hand, I'm coming to you. I'm changing everything. I am all in. Like, it can't just be lukewarm. Yeah, let's go. I mean, like, he has got some serious mending to do beyond just deciding if he wants to play.
Yeah, he does. And, you know, to that point, there's only a certain amount of time you can wait as well. Like, I get it. He's a first-round pick, and you would hate to give up on a guy like that, and then all of a sudden he figures it out, and he turns around, and like you said, Joe, he turns into a 10-year starter and a really good right tackle in the league. Like, you would hate for that to happen if you're the Titans. But you also can't just, like, expend all these resources for the next year and a half, 2 years, trying to get him to a place where he can get on the field. Like, this is not – you don't make first-round picks to spend 3 years working on him to get on the field. Like, we thought maybe he could get in and, like, halfway through the season last year, take over as the starter for Dennis Kelly. That's how I viewed it when they made that draft pick. And obviously that didn't work out. And by all indications, like, when he was on the field in training camp last year, he wasn't particularly close to being ready to play. So I get it. It's a first round pick, and you've got to do everything you can do if you're the Titans to try and make it work. But you also can't sit here for the next year and just pour all of your, you know, energy and your resources into trying to make this guy figure it out if he shows no signs that he wants to figure it out too. And that may be a tough pill for John Robinson and the Titans to swallow, but I think that's where they're at right now with Isaiah Wilson.
Well, right. And here's the thing. Now, if you're – let's take it away from the team. Let's take it to anyone who is a friend or a family member of Isaiah Wilson. And you're looking at someone who – you know, gets what 1.1 million guaranteed on this rookie deal. I mean, yeah. Great. You got some money now. Like, the whole key here is that you get to your second deal in this league, and then you make real money. Then you make, you know, money that can last you your life and can go to, you know, kids and grandkids. I mean, like, dude, what are you doing? Like, forget the Titans side of this, you know? I mean, for himself, like, this is a critical moment to try to, because I think he could be really good, and, like, he's got to be getting in shape right now. Like, that's another thing. When he comes back, what has he been working on, that, on being in shape? Because if he is on this team next year, the expectation should be that he pushes for the starting job. And all we saw of him as a rookie was, you know, falling down on an extra point.
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly – I mean, it couldn't get a whole lot worse than what we saw out of Isaiah Wilson in year one. And we'll see what the picture looks like in year two and see how short his leash is. And when we come back, we'll get your reaction to what we've just discussed. If you're the Titans, how short should the leash be with Isaiah Wilson before you move on from him? Let us know, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025 on our phone and text lines. Driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. That's coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. We'll be joined in just a few minutes by Preds TV analyst Chris Mason to begin right around 8:30, get into the latest with the Nashville Predators. Look ahead to hopefully a matchup tonight against the Dallas Stars. Also, make sure you're tuning in at 8:45 as well for your opportunity to participate in Preds Pick to Click, brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. We'll have that opportunity for you a little bit later this hour as well. Joe, we talked in the last segment about Isaiah Wilson and just how patient the Titans should be with him moving forward. And I think you and I both realize, number one, he's a first-round pick, and obviously that's important. As you said, like, if you miss on some first-round picks often enough, you're not going to be a general manager in this league very often, so, or very long. So this is an important stretch here for the Titans and for John Robinson to try to do all they can do to try to get this figured out with Isaiah Wilson. But you also just can't hang around forever and hope that he figures it out. At some point, you've got to move on as well. A part of this discussion that we've talked about some this year, but I think kind of bears repeating and bringing up again, is Dennis Kelly and the way that he played this year at right tackle. Now, he had his moments where he got beat, and he had his moments where it was a struggle. But I think by and large, Dennis Kelly did a pretty good job this year for the Titans. And you look at Dennis Kelly, you know, we talked a lot about the moves that did not work this past offseason for John Robinson. But Dennis Kelly, that's one of the best trades that he's made up until this point. 31 years old. How much does the way that Dennis Kelly played this season maybe influence how patient the Titans will be with Isaiah Wilson. Obviously, you want Wilson to be a guy that you can rely on for the next 5, 6, 7, 8 years. And Dennis Kelly's probably not that guy, but he probably is a guy that could play at a pretty high level for you for the next couple of years anyway. How much does that influence how the Titans handle Isaiah Wilson, in your opinion? Does it influence it at all?
Yeah, I hadn't really thought about it that way. They found out last year that Dennis Kelly could hold up through a whole season as a starting right tackle and do well. And he did so through injuries, which can be looked at, positively or negatively. Positively, the guy was tough as nails. Seriously, the guy is at times barely getting back to the huddle, and then he's getting in there and he's getting into his pass set and doing everything he can to help the team. And I thought he played well. But also, as you said, 31. He's had injuries. How do you feel long term? I think you just got to look at this year. Do you feel like Dennis Kelly, you're good at right tackle with Dennis Kelly? I think you do. I think you also, though, I think what the thing with Wilson is, if it's not happening and you're not feeling good and you're not getting a totally different vibe from him, I think you may have to go out there and at least get a swing tackle, get some depth. Now, look, we know Ty Sombrilo did a really good job when Lawan went down, and then so did David Questenberry. But you might need to go find someone, maybe, a mid-level free agent kind of player to give you depth and support and maybe be a swing tackle there you're not feeling it from Wilson. If you think, that's the thing. If Wilson, I think you've got, to your point, to your question, you maybe have a little bit longer time to where it's not like, Isaiah, you better be ready, and also you better be starting by October. I don't think you have to look at it that way.
I don't think so either. It's just, Dennis Kelly, I think, has proven at this point that, he's not a great right tackle, but he's pretty good. Like, he's pretty good really in every situation that you've put him in. So it's a nice luxury to have there. But to your point, like, as we know, last year with the offensive line, Taylor Lewan goes down, and all of a sudden your depth is tested right away. And in a perfect world last season, Isaiah Wilson steps in and maybe he's able to fill that role at right tackle. And quite frankly, maybe Ty Sombrilo or Questenberry never get in if things work out with Isaiah Wilson, because you swing Dennis Kelly over to left tackle, Isaiah Wilson comes in at right tackle, and you just move along from there. Obviously, that didn't happen, but you just can't rely on your offensive line to remain healthy throughout the entire year. And if Isaiah Wilson's not going to be a part of that, I think you're right. I think John Robinson has to take a look in free agency, maybe later in the draft, to bring somebody in that could help you in that regard.
Yeah, and that's, a good point. Basically he was brought in to kind of, make it so Kelly could be your swing tackle again, especially, like you said, in the case of the thing, of course, no one wanted to even consider, which is Lawan having a serious injury, which he had. But in any event, it's a pretty amazing when you think about absolute goose egg out of that pick, and then you think about you lose Lawan to an ACL, and still you did that on offense, And then you lose your backup, and still you did that on offense. It's, speaks well of those guys. It speaks well of the depth, the quality of the depth when you have a three as good as Questenberry. And it could look a lot worse right now. If what you might have expected in a case like that, going down to your three at left tackle and all that, that might have made things collapse. And then it would be even worse looking at Isaiah Wilson, because you would have expected him to be an essential part of not letting it collapse. So they got through it 1 year, but the question is, again, can he give them anything for the money he's being paid right now moving forward? And again, they like the conversations between him and Vrabel, him and Robinson, critical and really going to be interesting to see if he wants to do this.
So, Joe, let me ask you this, because it's kind of crazy to bring this up, I think, just based on you're fresh off a run to the AFC title game, and you won your division last year for the first time since 2008. So with all this in mind, there's still some pretty good things happening for the Tennessee Titans. But given how the free agent crop went this past year for the Titans and the lack of production from the draft as well, how much pressure do you think is on John Robinson to make sure that he hits this year? And look, I think regardless of how it shakes out, you'd be hard-pressed to have a worse year, I think, if you're John Robinson, than he had a season ago with the additions that he brought in, both in free agency and in the draft. But how much pressure is on him in this draft to bring in some pieces that can contribute right away and that can be difference makers for this team on the field right away?
Well, a lot. And if you look at last offseason, you could look at it. You could look at it for any team and say, how adverse was the effect of the weird offseason? You know, like how much did that impact you that you couldn't have all these people coming in for visits like you normally did? Again, I'm not making an excuse for John Robinson. I mean, everybody had that excuse, but maybe it affected some people more than others. The thing is, they did still have, you know, full Senior Bowl and stuff. They had the full combine. That was right, you know, right before, you know, the pandemic and the shutdown. So like this year is actually harder. This year is going to be limited all the way around in the access. So were the Titans, I don't know, were they hit harder by that because of what they do in evaluation? And does that mean it's even going to be rougher for them this offseason? I don't know, but you got to hit with free agents and draft picks to avoid, you know, going the wrong way now. I mean, it was a step forward in overall record, but it was still a step back. It was a step back from 2019 to 2020 in terms of the overall performance, and largely because you just got so little in your acquisitions. So you can't have – I mean, if you have another offseason like that, I mean, it's going to start going the wrong way quickly.
Yeah, like I just wonder, like if you have another offseason, maybe not quite as bad, but you're still not getting the production that you want on the field from your draft picks and free agency doesn't work out the way that you hope it does coming into this offseason here. Like, do you start having the conversation? Like if you end up 9-7 or 10-6 next year, still a pretty good team, but not taking steps back to where you want to be, like, does John Robinson and his job become a talking point? Like, I know that may be crazy for some Titans fans to think about right now, but as you said many times, Joe, things can turn in a hurry in this league.
They can. Now, I will say that I think John Robinson will be on the fan hot seat far before he's on Amy Adam Strunk's hot seat.
Agreed.
You know, I mean, I think there's a lot of trust there, and overall, he's done a very good job. So, like, if it's 9-7 next year, I mean, I think there'd be a lot of, you know, they missed the playoffs and they didn't have a great offseason again. I think there'd be a lot of Titans fans like, all right, that's it, J-Rob. I don't think she'd be there yet. Now, you know, then, yeah, I mean, like, I don't think it's like one bad offseason away. Now, if it goes totally in the toilet, you never know in this league. But yeah, it's, I mean, look, it can happen so fast. He got them turned around so fast, and in some cases they got turned around by players who were already here. I mean, they had players like Jarrell Casey and Delanie Walker and Marcus Mariota who were here when John Robinson got here, who were a big part of kind of an instant culture change in 2016. But it can go fast the other way too, no doubt. And it gets harder and harder as you – have guys you have to pay and guys you have to figure out who to cut. I mean, it's a really tricky offseason. It's always a tricky offseason for all of these guys. It's not easy. But I feel like this is especially tricky after last season with what you want to do. You want to be in that upper tiny 1% of this league, and given some of the issues you have with guys who are now free agents who you want to retain.
Coming up next, we'll be joined by Preds TV analyst Chris Mason and look ahead to the game tonight between the Predators and the Dallas Stars. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on that Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And you hear that music, you know it's this time of the week. We go to our 102.5 of the Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Preds TV analyst, former Preds goaltender, Chris Mason, brought to you by Coleman Tractor, Tennessee's largest Kubota dealer. C-Mace, what's going on, man? How we doing?
Doing good. I thought last time, though, you guys promised me you're going to play Vanilla Ice for me, so I'm a little thrown off right now.
I know. Ryan Porth, the Vanilla Ice. We've got to bring it back for C-Mace next time.
That's my bad.
C-Mace.
Especially with the weather.
C-Mace, what about – well, I was just going to say, what about MC Snow and Former? I mean, Canadian rapper? Come on, right? I think that would have been perfect.
Yeah, that could have been next level right there. Love it.
It absolutely could have been with C-Mace. Obviously, things did not go as scheduled last night. The Predators game against Dallas got postponed. They're scheduled to play Dallas tonight at 7:30. We'll see whether or not the Predators and Stars are able to play tonight. But aside from that, you know, looking back over last week against Tampa Bay and Detroit, and specifically Saturday night against Detroit, another example of a slow start to the game offensively. And C-Mace, as you know, that's been a consistent theme with this group this year. They just haven't been able to get going very early offensively in games. As a former player in the locker room, when you've got an issue like that that continues to creep up in your game, and obviously you've had conversations about it and you've talked about it and it's still going poorly for you, number one, how frustrating is that? And number two, how do you work to overcome that in the locker room?
Like, honestly, the biggest thing, because last game, I think we've all, you know, anybody that covers the team is frustrated right now, because every time they, you know, they take a step or two forward, like in the first Detroit game, I thought they played really well. I thought they're, you know, it wasn't perfect or anything like that, but I thought they were kind of getting back to, you know, what they tell us they want their game to be and what this team, you know, look at the roster, and this is a roster, especially with, you know, Johansson, Ekholm, and even when those guys are back, that I think they have to play a certain way to win. And, you know, that second game against Detroit is so frustrating because, you know your opponent. So yeah, it's Detroit. It's not Tampa Bay. But what they're going to do is they're just going to sit back. They're going to wait for you in the neutral zone. They're going to, you know, let you, you know, if you get in the zone, they're going to be a little bit more passive, but you know, they're going to have numbers back. So in order to attack that type of system, you have to play the way that they say they want to play, which is, you know, close support, get the pucks in deep, get in on the forecheck, and then, and win battles. Right. So it was frustrating to me because they did that in the first game against Detroit. You know, they had their troubles, but they eventually broke it down and they, you know, they won the game. And I thought they played, they're the better team, in that hockey game. And the second game, they couldn't get anything going the first two periods. So that was really, frustrating. I'm sure you guys felt the same about that. And I think there's just, you know, points at the start of the hockey game where they're, I feel like they're waiting to see like, okay, what kind of game is this going to be? You know, is it going to be open? Is it going to be, you know, what kind of hockey game? And by the time you do that, you don't establish your game. The other team gets to establish theirs. So I think that they have to be completely focused on what they're doing and what their game plan is. And this might sound a little weird or whatever, but like, don't think too much. You know what your identity is and what you want it to be. Go out there. It's not a difficult concept to play the way they want to play. It takes a lot of hard work. It takes a commitment from the start of the game. But you know, the game against Detroit, they had, I don't know how many shots, you guys might know, maybe 10 after two periods, but they had 30 shot attempts. So there's just too much hesitation. When they get in the zone, they're waiting, oh, should I pass? Okay, I'll shoot. It gets blocked or it misses the net. And it's just not establishing your game. It's kind of wait and seeing, and you're hesitating. You're just not establishing what you want to do in terms of executing your game plan. So I just think they have to just, you know what, just, guys, at the end of the day, all we can do is go out there, work as hard as we can, be smart about it, and stick to what we want to be. Don't get away from it. Don't try to be, you know, something you're not, and all of a sudden you're looking for these cross-ice pretty plays when they're not there, obviously, against a team like Detroit or Dallas. Dallas plays exactly the same way, except they, you know, they've got a lot more talented roster. So I just think you have to go back to the basics and just work, and just right from the beginning. You kind of have to be like, a little bit, your pride's on the line. You know, you want to be proud of your team. At the end of the day, if you go out there and you work your butt off for 60 minutes and you lose a hockey game, I think, you know, for me as a player, when I played, you know, at least you can look in the mirror and be happy with your effort. And, you know, fans appreciate that. You guys, we all know that if they go out and work hard and they get beat, hey, you know, we'll strap up and do it again in 2 days. But if you don't, and it's kind of like feels like it did last game, it's not a good feeling. So I just say, just go out there and play and, you know, work as hard as you can and see what happens until you get it right. And I think at the end of the day, that's all you can do.
Yeah. And C-Mace, you know, I think you've said, you know, similar things on the air at times, maybe just, you know, I guess maybe simplifying things a little bit and not like you just mentioned, you know, trying to be pretty or perfect. I mean, we've talked about that before with this team. I also think people jump too quickly to the effort thing. I mean, if you go out there and you just throw your stick out there, you're going to get smashed in the boards and you're going to, right? I mean, it's not like these guys aren't trying or don't want it, but I guess my question is it if you simplify it, then you can execute better and that leads to better effort? Or like, what do you think is the, like the first step?
The first step, because they're working hard, but like you got to work smart. So you have to work within your system and you have to work together. So what I mean by that is you can't have, you know, one guy or two guys on the 5-man unit checking forward and try to, you know, catch a guy and then go back the other way, you know, on an odd man rush or whatever, taking a 50-50 chance. You have to commit to what your game plan is. So I feel like the Predators, they have to be willing to, right from the start of the game, say, hey, you know what? This may not be pretty, but this is our team right now. We're going to try to win this game 1-0 or 2-1. We're not going to give you anything. The Preds give up a lot of odd man rushes and they give up a lot of those chances because other teams will play that way against them and they'll get their opportunities off of transition. So they'll turn pucks over in the neutral zone. You know, if the Preds are trying to, you know, make long stretch plays or whatever through the neutral zone, they're sitting back there waiting and then they catch the Preds moving forward and they go back the other way. So I really think that you just it's a commitment. It's a commitment for everybody. And to play that way, you need everyone on the ice to, you know, to be playing that way. Otherwise, it's not effective. So, although they are working hard, I'm not questioning their work ethic, but I think they just have to work together more and be committed to, you know, to their game plan. Because right now, I just think it's so scattered. And like you guys said, there's so many games where they just don't get to their game quick enough. And all of a sudden, the third period, they're down a couple goals. They know what it's like in the dressing room. They're probably like, guys, this is not, you know, I'm sure they say a lot different words than what I'm going to say. But they say, you know, this is unacceptable. We can't play like this. And then they just go out there and work. And then they play the way that they should play at the start of the game. So they're capable of doing it. They just have to, you know, consciously and collectively do it at the start of the hockey game. They got to get a little mad, you know, a little emotion.
Preds TV analyst Chris Mason on the line with us, brought to you by Coleman Tractor, Tennessee's largest Kubota dealer. See, Mace, you know, a big talking point last year was the mentality of the team and how they needed to improve in that area. And I asked Roman Josi about that yesterday and how that's holding up so far. And he said it's been very up and down so far with the mentality and the way that they've handled things. What have you seen from them from that aspect of it? And how difficult is it to keep your mentality where it needs to be when you're not finding success early in games?
It's tough. It is tough. Like, I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I know as a player and watching their post-game media stuff that they're answering the same questions over and over again. And it's, you know, it's getting worse because it's not getting better. So it's kind of like you carry this weight around and then after the game, you're sitting there, you know, probably after the last game, you're like, oh my God, like it happened again. And then you got to go out and face the music, which, obviously, as a professional athlete, I'm you know, happy that all these guys are willing to do that. Some teams, some guys won't face the music, but it weighs on you. It's like, I don't know. Like, I honestly don't have the answers. I just know when you're inside that dressing room and you're going through a stretch like this, and every team goes through stretches like this, you know, no matter how good you are, some are maybe a little shorter, but, you know, it's tough. And at the end of the day, there's, you know, usually there's a moment or a game that'll snap you out of it, and then you know, you get back to normal and, you know, you rail off a couple wins there and then it's all in the past. But right now it just seems like, you know, one step forward, two steps back, couple, you know, that kind of thing. And it's frustrating because I'm sure they felt like that after the first Detroit game. I felt they probably felt, all right, you know what, wasn't perfect, but here we go. We're back, you know, we're back. And then they come out and stink up the joint in the first two periods and it's the same storyline. So it's heavy. It weighs on you a little bit. It's not as fun to come to the rink when it's going like that. But again, I'm always optimistic about things because I know, you know, before a season, doesn't matter when it happens, if it's at the beginning, in the middle, or the end, there's going to be a stretch like this. So I think if you know that in advance, you can kind of say, all right, well, here it is right now. Maybe it's a good thing that they're going through this early and they've had all the turnover and, you know, Coach Hines is trying to figure out the right chemistry on the other lines and try to get the right feel for it. And, you know, it could be my thought on it. It could be a blessing in disguise that they are going through this now, but still it doesn't matter. You still carry that weight around and it's extremely frustrating as a player.
Well, Chris, is it hard? Because like you said, I mean, everybody goes through bad stretches. Of course, you play in this league long enough, you're going to see probably everything. But in this case, of course, we're talking about, you know, a team results that have kind of been steadily declining since the peak of a couple of years ago. And that, of course, brings more outside speculation from us and anybody else covering this team about, okay, core pieces, trading deadline, you know, is it going to get blown up? All that stuff. Does that make it harder? Not just like losing in the same questions, but even just the speculation about what might be coming down in the near future, just because of kind of where this team is relative to the last few years.
Well, I think from my perspective now, I think about that stuff, but as a player, you don't. Like, you know it's out there, and you know every year that, you know, contractually or whatever, you could be one of the guys. But when you're playing, there's so many other things that you're focused on. And at the end of the day, as a player, the most important thing is you just want to go out there and play well. So that stuff is, I'm sure it's, you know, maybe in the very far back of their mind. And it's, you know, not quite that time to think about that stuff. We're nowhere near the trade deadline or anything like that. But, you know, everybody knows, right? When your team's in a certain situation at a certain point of the season, decisions have to be made. So I'm sure everybody is aware of it, but I don't think that that's, you know, anything that they're thinking about at this time.
Reds TV analyst Chris Mason has been our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road, brought to you by Coleman Tractor, Tennessee's largest Kubota dealer. See, Mace, great stuff as always, my friend. Appreciate you taking the time to join us, and hopefully we'll have a hockey game to talk about tonight.
Yeah, I hope so. Let's fingers crossed. Thank you, guys.
Absolutely. Chris Mason, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. When we come back, we'll revisit a conversation we had earlier in the show. How much time do the Preds have left to figure things out this season before you have to start looking ahead? We'll discuss that next. Get your reaction as well. 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025 on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Thanks to Preds TV analyst Chris Mason for joining us in the last segment. And Joe, it is interesting. We talked about it a little bit earlier in the show. 6-9-0 on the season so far for the Predators. 15 games into a 56-game season, and you're in a spot right now where you can tell the frustration is starting to boil over a little bit. We've talked about it with some of the post-game press conferences that we've seen. We talked to Roman Josi about it yesterday a little bit, trying to navigate through the rut that they're in right now with the Nashville Predators. So as you view this team, as you view the start to this season and what this season looks like as a whole, with a lot of games coming and not very much time, how much longer, if you're the Predators or if you're a Predators fan, do you have left to figure this out if you're this team before you have to start looking ahead to what the future could look like? Like, how much time do the Predators have left realistically to dig themselves out of this hole?
You know, they've got it's minute by minute, you know, it's just like, I mean, there's more time than we're probably making it seem, you know, because even though it's a condensed season, I mean, if they were to rip off, okay, so let's say, you know, whatever, over a 5-game stretch, you know, if they can rip off 8 of 10 points, you know, I mean, does that, you know, what does that do? All of a sudden, you know, things look a lot better. It's just, it's harder to imagine. It seems more urgent just because we haven't seen that much play. I mean, honestly, if you don't have that incredible comeback against Florida, we've talked about this. Well, how do things look right now? We just haven't seen all that much, you know, we just haven't seen all that much from them recently to give you optimism, but it doesn't mean that they couldn't flip it around. They have plenty of time to do it. Technically
they do, but you also need to see some signs of life from this group. Like, that's the thing. And you got, you know, some minor good news yesterday from the Predators on the injury side of things. Like, Ryan Johansson, you know, he's been week to week. Apparently he made the trip to Dallas and has been skating, was not going to play yesterday, not going to play tonight, but maybe reevaluated later this week. So good news on that front. And, you know, I tweeted that out yesterday, Joe. And of course, like, you go and look at all the replies, then they're all like, well, who cares about Ryan Johansson? Like, who needs Ryan Johansson with the way that he's been playing? He hadn't been playing in a long time for this group. And I get it. Fans are frustrated. That's going to be the way a lot of them deal with Ryan Johansson until he snaps out of this. But again, I've said it before. If you think this team right now is a better team without Ryan Johansson as currently constructed, I got news for you. They're not. And quite frankly, at the last few games, trying to watch them get through the neutral zone in the offensive zone, haven't told you that, then I don't know what you've been watching. But I get it. Ryan Johansson has got to be better. He's got to be more productive. But there's a difference in, you know, not being a good player and not living up to what your contract says you should be. I mean, you can separate those two things with this discussion. So I did think it was some good news yesterday that it looks like Ryan Johansson not that far away.
Right. I mean, look, it's – I mean, it, when things are going poorly and when we're talking about the stuff we're talking about, and, you know, I think C-Mace had a great point last segment that, look, these guys are focusing on playing and things like that. I also think it's probably harder for guys today to isolate themselves from all that talk just because, I mean, it's just, you know, again, everything's on your phone now, you know? Yeah. I mean, it's hard. I think it's got to be difficult, but still, I mean, I'm sure they're focused on what they've got to do. Fans are looking at this situation and saying, it's just brutal. Like, blow it up. Who's getting traded? So they don't want to hear about, you know, the idea that, like, this team misses Johansson. They weren't playing well with him. But the fact is, it's a huge deal. And they have no chance to make any ground or really do anything unless they have not only have him, but have him playing a lot better than he was before he got hurt. I mean, that's just reality. He's one of the, you know, three or four most important players on this team.
He is. And we knew this heading into the season. If he's not playing well, it's going to be difficult for this team to generate. And it's not just him. I mean, I think we all appreciate Victor Arvidsson and the way that he plays the game and how much effort he brings to the table. And I don't think anybody's ever really questioned that. But two goals through 15 games is not good enough. Like, he's got to find a way to be more productive. We know it with Matt Duchene. He's got three goals. He's got to find a way to be more productive. Like, you could pretty much go up and down the list of people in this lineup. And outside of Philip Forsberg, I mean, there's another level that pretty much everybody needs to reach. And that's the thing. In the conversation, in the context of this conversation of how much time do the Predators have left to figure this out, you've got to start to see signs of life from some of these guys that maybe they're on the verge of breaking out of this, and maybe they're on the verge of putting together some more consistent offensive performances. And quite frankly, like, right now, there are just not signs of life that's happening. I mean, Victor Arvidsson had one shot on goal on Saturday night against the Detroit Red Wings. And if memory serves me correctly, it was a dump in from the blue line that found its way on net. It wasn't even an actual shot on goal. So that's just not good enough. Like, you've got to find a different level if you're some of these top guys. And the part of it is that I think is depressing if you're a Predators fan is we've been having this same conversation about your top guys for a long time now. And I think that feeds into this discussion of how much longer do you have to have this conversation if you're the Predators before you have to start looking elsewhere into the future and trying to reevaluate what your options are going to be at that point.
Yeah. And amid all that, again, there's no way it's easy for the players to block all that up, but they have to. Now, hypothetically, because obviously, you know, we know, like, our guy Charles Robinson couldn't join us today. I mean, he's it's rough. He's got no power down in Houston. It's bad in Texas. Hypothetically, if the Preds don't end up playing either game in Dallas, is it possible it's a good thing for this team to get, I guess you could say it's a good thing not to have to play Dallas, even though they're not playing that well right now, but to have that sort of break, rest, reset, and then you get back at it Thursday at Columbus, could that be a positive?
Well, it could be, and it could be even more of a positive if Johansson's able to go and he's able to play on Thursday in Columbus. I mean, I think based on the conversations that Hines had yesterday, that's at least close. Maybe it's not Columbus, but I feel like he's at least close to getting back in the action. So I think it could be really good from that perspective. But I also think, like, it's one of those things where when you have a performance as bad as you did Saturday night against Detroit, sometimes the best medicine is just go out there and play again. And that should be the best medicine for this team. But maybe you're right, Joe. Like, maybe this team needs some time to get reset mentally. I mean, let's be honest. There's a lot of negativity around this team right now in the media, with the fan base, and really in the locker room. Like, you've heard some of their post-game comments. We played Ryan Ellis yesterday. There's a lot of negativity around this group right now. So maybe this reset will be good But we'll have to find out and wait and see. You get the night off unexpectedly last night. We'll see what happens the rest of this week here. But something's got to change in a hurry with this team. I don't think there's any question about that because, you know, typically 15 games into a season, it's not that big a deal with the schedule being what it is this year. Pretty big deal what we're talking about right now.
Absolutely. And question on whenever they play again, tonight or Thursday or whenever, who's in goal?
I think you'd still probably have to go back with Pekka. I didn't think he played well Saturday night. I still think the body of work this season has been large enough where he's been pretty significantly better. So I would go back with Pekka, but I don't know. What do you think? Would you entertain going back with Saros later this week?
I think I'd go with Pekka, you know, as next time out. But I, you know, it's very fluid with those two. You know, obviously it was not a great night for him. You know, a couple of those goals against Detroit. I still think overall his body of work's been better than Saros. But yeah, I think I'm sticking there right now. I don't know if you want to keep going back and forth on that, but then again, we know it's already going to be back and forth the way the schedule is anyway. So I mean, it's got to be merit based, and it's got to be who's hot at the moment, and you've got to have every single edge you can have to try to win any hockey games at this point.
When we come back, we'll revisit a discussion we had yesterday here on the show surrounding Joe Rexroad and Jerry Stackhouse. We'll do that next. This is Robbie and Rexroad live from the Wholesale Link Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.